This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And welcome back to the Chatter's Box. My name is Kyle McClellan. I am your host. And today I am joined by former teammate of mine and great guy, new hire to the organization and the coaching staff. We have Daniel Descalzo. Danny, how you doing, man?
I'm good. Rolled into town a little cold for me right now, but excited to be here for the winter warm-up and kind of get the season going.
Yeah, so this is going to air probably in February, right as spring training's kicking off. We're recording this on winter warm-up weekend, which everybody knows is it's 0 degrees outside. And you're not used to the cold where you come from, but I'm sure you're ready to get out of here and get down to spring training.
Yeah, I had to dig deep into my closet to try to find anything that would keep me warm. Luckily, it was just a short walk across the street. Didn't have to brave the elements too much. But yeah, I would much rather be in the Florida weather than this cold right now.
No doubt. So what's it been like, man? You get named bench coach not too long ago. So what's it been like for you back in the family, back here with Cardinals fans, hearing from them? I'm sure, we know Cardinals fans are going to voice their opinion, going to let you know. Obviously not the season that the organization was looking for last year, but a lot of changes being made to address those. And so as you're getting ready here for spring training coming up, and what's the last few months been like for you?
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a whirlwind. Still getting used to bench coach as my title and, being associated with my name. So, but it's been fun just talking with Ollie and his staff and getting to know the coaching staff, kind of getting brought back into the family, like you said. It was fun to get down to the winter meetings and meet a lot of the guys upstairs and try to just, learn how we do stuff on the coaching side and with our analytics. And it's been a lot of positive feedback from the fan base. Obviously last year did not go according to plan and what Cardinals Nation is used to. So you've seen us go out and sign some pitchers, which is, obviously it was a point of emphasis. One of them being Lance Lynn, and I think that was announced the same day that I was announced. So we had some good back and forth. It's going to be fun to be in the same dugout with him, as well as some of my other former teammates, and just to be back at Busch, wear the Cardinals uniform. It was a great opportunity and one that I'm really excited about.
So walk me through how that opportunity happens. Obviously you and Marmol are close. Was there any discussions beforehand of, hey, I'd want to get back involved in this? Or, how does that happen? Do they reach out? You reach out to them? How did all that come about?
Yeah, so I've done a couple of things, Cardinals alumni things here over the last few years. And I always, check in with Ollie and we kind of talk. And he always gives me like, hey, well, you're going to get back in the game. What do you want to do? And at that time, I had just stopped playing. I was back at school finishing my degree. And then last year I came back as a member of the Diamondbacks player development, like baseball ops staff. And so that was my first foray back into baseball, but on the other side of the game. And after the D-backs got eliminated by the Rangers in the World Series, the D-backs GM called me and said, hey, I got a call from Mo. They want to talk to you about a position on their big league staff. I think it's a dugout position. He didn't really know, and obviously I didn't know what the role was going to be. So I'm like, sure. He asked, do you want to talk to him? I'm like, yeah, of course. I'd love to hear what they have to say. Like, I'll be stupid to say no. So we set up a Zoom with myself, Mo, and Ollie, and kind of laid out what they had in mind, and eventually kind of got to the point where they said, yeah, you'd like you to be, the bench coach. And I was like, wow, that's a big step, but a great opportunity to get in the dugout at a high level and have a real impact on what these guys are trying to do. So obviously, it was a tough decision because it's going to be a lot, but I'm excited about the challenge. I'm excited about the opportunity. And so that's kind of how it came about. And it just it worked out for everybody.
So a lot of people, Matt Holliday obviously named bench coach last year and then ended up didn't working out. And a lot of people asked me about that. I said, man, it's hard. You got to understand, you know, one, his son had just taken number one overall. He wants to be there for that. He's got another son that when I talked to Matt in spring training, he kind of chuckles. He's like, you know, Jackson gets all this attention. He's like, people don't know about Ethan yet. You know, so yeah. Ethan's coming. Yeah. He's going to be the number one overall pick most likely as a number one prospect as of right now, I believe, as a junior. You know, and I think there was that pull, that family dynamic pull. So like you talked about, it is a tough decision. Like I hope people understand. People ask me all the time, you ever want to get back into coaching? And man, it's such a time commitment. So players get here, let's say 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Okay. Coaches get here at what time you think?
I mean, before that.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking that, 11 yeah. o'clock, 11, yeah. you know, 11:30. Yeah. They're getting here, getting prepped. They're here afterwards. Mm-hmm. You know, they're after the players leave. You know, so it's such a time. A spring training, you know, it's not show up, do your thing, leave after five innings like the veterans do. I mean, those coaches, those are long days yeah. down there for the coaches. So, you know, talk about that decision with your wife and, you know, talk about your family dynamic. I know you got young kids and, you know, that's a tough decision.
Yeah, you know, I had a pretty cush gig in Arizona. Like, I set my own schedule. I flew in when it worked around. Like, I could still coach my kids and stuff. And I think if I would have stayed there, I would have taken on some more responsibility and maybe not have that flexibility. But I had a good, like, you know, a good gig over there with in terms of like scheduling stuff. But when the Cardinals called and when it's people you're familiar with, an organization that you have history with, and Ollie, who we go back to 2007, we got drafted together and roommates in the minor leagues. Like, I don't think I would have left for just any organization and any opportunity. It had to be the right one. And so just talking to my wife and figuring out how it was going to work with our kids and what the season looks like. It's probably going to be a lot of traveling on my end on some off days and stuff, and they're probably not going to be out here the whole time. But, you know, she was very supportive, and she understood the opportunity that was in front of me. And if I want to get back into the game and get in at a high level and have an impact, that this was, you know, this was something that we had to sit down and talk about and figure out if it could work. And you know, like I said, she was very supportive about it. It's a lot. You know, it's a lot of work during spring training. I schedule all mm-hmm. spring training. So I've talked to a couple people, Skip, about that, a couple other guys that I know around the league that have done the bench coach stuff and scheduling. They're like, be ready to, you know, have to be able to pivot with weather and you know, checking in with medical and, you know, guys that who's throwing, what working groups, all that stuff. So we're starting to put that schedule together now. And then, you know, during the season, the coaches are here longer than the players. But like I said, the chance to come back to the Cardinals and help get this thing back going to where we're used to being was just a great opportunity, too good to pass up.
Yeah, no doubt. And I sympathize with you. I have two kids. I coach them. You know, and it's like, man, that's hard. Like, if something were to come up and to walk away from that but still want to be there for your kids and their development process and things like that, it's like, you know, okay, you can come in here and hit and work with the guys down here and, you know, go around, put the uniform on and go out there. It is an awesome experience, too. So there's a trade-off, right? Yeah. I mean, there's the give and take on it. So let's talk about the responsibilities of a bench coach. You know, it ain't just sitting there, you know, eating sunflower seeds and kind of just answering a couple questions for Ollie as it goes. Let's start in spring training as when this is about to air. Spring training's just getting ready to kick off. And I know for a bench coach, I mean, that is your time to shine. That is everybody's looking at you for everything. So talk about responsibilities there and then also what those responsibilities and relationship with Marmol is going to be during the season. And now, you know, Marmol is also the bench coach as well. So he yeah. understands these roles, and I'm sure he's helping you along with that and telling you exactly what he wants from you. Your job is to assist him and do whatever he needs, essentially. So talk about that a little bit and how you see those roles playing out.
Yeah, you know, we'll start with spring training. Obviously, there's a lot of guys in camp, the whole roster plus the non-roster invites. So we got to make sure that all those guys get their work in, that and are ready to go for the season. But more importantly, those 26 guys that are going to, you know, be here opening day, we got to get those guys ready. So just balancing work groups. Do we want to, you know, put some younger guys with some veteran guys, teach those guys how we do things around here, make sure we cover all the fundamentals, make sure guys are getting their work in but not overworking themselves. We, you know, want guys ready to go when they show up to spring training, but we don't want to push too fast. you know, but a lot of it's going to be scheduling stuff, like from an admin standpoint, basically. Like, but Pogi, the bullpen catcher, has a lot of experience with the scheduling. He's kind of be my right-hand man through all that process. He has all the templates ready to go. We've already been talking about, you know, what it looks like when just pitchers and catchers are there, and then how we transition to a full squad. And obviously, we have some split squad games, so I'll be the skipper on the road trip. I will have my gray pants ready to go. So yeah, but it'll be fun. I'm excited to get down there and just get to know a lot of the players. I've got a chance to speak with a lot of them over the phone. I've seen a couple of them in person. But that's going to be an important job for me in spring training too, is to build those relationships, so that during the season when we do need to have, you know, maybe a tough conversation, or we need to talk about the game and what's going on, that these guys know that they can trust me and that I've got their best interest there. And then during the season, I mean, my job is going to be to cover all these blind spots, right? Like, the manager's got so many responsibilities, from media. He's got to deal with the medical, strength and conditioning, pitchers, hitters. So wherever I can pick up the slack for him, that's going to be my job. And then during the game, just kind of keeping him aware of all scenarios coming up, trying to be a couple innings ahead. Like, I remember as a player, you know, playing for La Russa, like, one of the things that I thought he was the best at was just being two moves ahead of the other manager. I think for him, his fear was he was always never wanted to be underprepared, right? Mm-hmm. He was always overprepared. He had covered every scenario in his head so that when that popped up during the game, he wasn't surprised. And so that's gonna be my job for Ollie, is just to lay everything out there for him. He's the manager. It's gonna be his decision, but it's gonna be my job to present him with all of our options, you know, who we have available, what they might do. And so yeah, Ollie told me to give him everything. So I'm gonna give him everything.
And I remember when Ollie got hired, I was actually at Brian Jordan's golf tournament in Atlanta, and we were watching the press conference as we were playing. And a reporter asked him a question about how often did you and Shield agree on moves or things. And he said, my job is not to agree with him. My job is to present him all the possibilities and for him to select the one he thinks is the best. Yeah. So in this situation, I might present him three different options. So it looks like I'm disagreeing with him, but really I'm saying, hey, here's your options, and then make the best one that you think is fit. And so, you know, that relationship, I mean, I can only imagine when they say, hey, the Cardinals are interested in talking to you, you're like, oh, okay, I wonder what this is going to be. You know, yeah. It could be a lot of things. Could be first base coach, right. Could be base running guy, could be infield coordinator. I mean, all these different things. And then all of a sudden when they're like bench coach, I mean, you're like, whoa, okay. One, that shows a deep relationship with Ollie, like you talked about. You guys go way back. But, man, there's so much trust in that, you know, you are – you know, right there with him. You can disagree with him. You can present him different options of what he's seeing, and making sure that he's able to make the right one in that time.
Yeah, and I'm sure we will disagree, but that's okay. I think you don't want somebody that's right next to you just saying, no, yeah, you should do that, or just, you know, agree with you all the time. I think it's going to be, we're going to have some good, healthy discussions about what, you know, even before the game, you know, how do we want to line this up for tonight? Who do we have available in the pen? Who's down? Who needs a day on the offensive side? Like, we're gonna go through everything before the game, and then, you know, it never goes according to plan out there once the first pitch is thrown. And, you know, we're gonna have a lot of good discussions, and I think it helps that we go back to you know a lot of years, and we kind of came up together in the same system. We know what winning looks like. We know what, like, good fundamental baseball looks like. We kind of see it through the same lens, but through different perspectives. So it's going to be fun to be right next to him and being, like, you know, right in the heat of the battle and deciding those things together.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Is there, like, a main focus in spring training? Something that, hey, we really need to, you know, because I think fans, need to understand, like, this is the opportunity that you really hammer fundamentals. Okay. Yep. So in the minor leagues, just so fans understand, in minor leagues, you know, once every homestand, you know, the pitchers go out and do their thing. Maybe you'll get the team together and work on like a team fundamental. But really, it's done at the big league level. It's done in those 6 to 8 weeks in spring training. Every single day, there's a focus on a team fundamental, position fundamental. And then throughout the season, these guys have been through it enough. They kind of know it. It's maybe reminding them of it. But you're not out there every day doing these drills and stuff. You know, it's such a long season. So you only have really that 6 weeks to really make sure that those things are put in place of the things you want to do, the bunt plays, the pickoffs, the covering the bases, making sure all those things that we see throughout the season are really the groundwork is laid for that in spring training.
Yeah, I think you've seen it change a little bit the last couple of years where nobody really bunts a whole lot anymore. Right. We used to hammer those bunt plays home because you have the pitcher in the National League and you're getting at least one or two bunts a game, and how can you steal an out on a lead runner? So, we still have to cover that, but you don't see that as much. I think for us this year, last year with the new rules, with the no shift, we saw a lot of ground balls get through, and I think we're gonna kind of clean up our positioning, and if we have to make any adjustments with our model on the computer and where we put guys, or just trying to put guys in better spots so that our pitchers can go out there and know that they can pitch to contact, and our guys are gonna be there. But yeah, base running. Being aggressive on the bases, not giving away outs on the bases, that's something we're going to talk about a lot. But yeah, you have to cover all the fundamentals because you can't get the pitchers out there every day and do PFPs. You know, you gotta find a way to get them to lock in spring training and not just mess around out there, but kind of, don't do eye wash, but like, just lock in, because at some point during the season you're going to have to throw a ball to second base up the mound, and like, we can't have you throw it in the center field. So yeah, that's our time to really just get back to the basics, start a square one, don't take anything for granted, and just make sure we cover everything so that during the season when some play happens and you know that, hey, at least we've touched on it in spring training, at least we talked about it, so these guys should have some frame of reference for when they see it, when it counts.
And the guys that have come up in the system, one of the great things I always appreciated is how prepared I was when I got to the big leagues, because from day one in rookie ball, we were doing all these drills and skills so that when you got to the big leagues, it was a refresher. You know, it's not something that you have to have hammered into. But you have guys from new organizations, so you got to make sure all the language is right and that they understand what direction you're trying to go.
Yeah, and you see it around the league now. Guys are getting to the big leagues a lot faster.
Yeah.
And so they're I don't think they always get those fundamentals like really hammered home. And a lot of guys are still learning when they get to the big leagues, which makes it a little harder because it's hard to learn at the big league level. Like, they will find a weakness and they will expose you. Like, especially as a hitter, now they have so much information in the minor leagues. Like, you get to the big leagues, they have a book on you and they're going to go right after you until you prove you can make an adjustment. And you guys just get to the big leagues faster now and they're still developing, they're still learning. Whereas maybe when we were coming up, you were expected to be like, not a finished product, but you had to know how to play. If you wanted to play for Tony, you had to be prepared and you had to know your fundamentals and be fundamentally sound. Otherwise, you'd find yourself back in Memphis pretty quick.
Yeah, if you didn't know a bunt play, you weren't sticking around. I mean, there's no doubt they weren't going to teach it to you there. So fans that are listening, if you're heading to spring training, one of my favorite things to have people go do is go early. Go over and you get access to watching these things happen on the field and how these guys go about their business, and you can hear it. You're so close, you can hear you, who's going to be running this, giving the instruction on it. And if you're a coach or you have a kid that plays, gosh, it is just doesn't get any better, the access that these fans can get to watch those types of things and see how these guys go about it, how quickly they go through it. I mean, it might be a 20-minute station, but man, they get a lot of work done. And I think it's a really cool insight for fans to get to see that behind the scenes stuff that you can't come here in Busch Stadium and see that, because it's all being done. Whether if you are on the field doing it, it's before fans are able to come in here. So it's a great opportunity for fans to see that.
Yeah, you go back on the backfields and you'll see Okendo working with the infielders. You'll see him literally rolling ground balls to major league players, like rolling them from 10, 15 feet away, very slow, like talking about basics and fundamentals. I remember as a player, like, Chao's out there and he's rolling us balls. We're turning double plays. We're going like very slow, but making sure that we have the fundamentals down before we progress into, you know, full speed and off a fungo and then off a live bat. But you'll see very basic stuff, very fundamental, you know, aspects of baseball stuff that you could do with your kids and your youth team that we have to. That's how we have to start every year. You got to start from the beginning and make sure that, you know, guys have their legs under them and that we're fielding the ground ball properly and we're doing our bunt plays properly and we're lining up correctly on cutoffs and relays and we have our first and third play. Like, we got to start at the basics every year and you'll see some stuff that's very basic, but it's cool to see big leaguers practice those basic fundamentals.
You can go to a 9U or a 10U baseball practice and the things that you should be working on, if you're not, they should be working on it, that you'll also see these major leaguers working on in spring training. And so if you're a fan, go back and see that if you're heading to spring training, because it's a great time. So let's talk about the roster a little bit. Who are you excited to see and work with? I mean, obviously all of them, have to say,
it's going to be fun to be with some former teammates of mine. A couple guys that are like my all-time favorites, Nolan Arenado, who we played together in Colorado for a couple of years. I mean, Cardinals fans have got to see him up close every day now for the last couple of years, and he's special out there. Mm-hmm. On both sides of the baseball. I used to joke that he would turn, you know, doubles into double plays at third. Like, you hit a shot down the hot corner and he'll, you know, dive back in, throw to second, now you got a double play. He's saving his pitchers' runs, you know, left and right. It's a luxury to have him out there, and just the way that he works. I've seen him come into the first day of spring training and he's like locked in July form. I think it was my second year in Colorado. So 2016, we signed Mark Reynolds as a free agent. And, you know, Mark played a lot of third as a younger player, but he had played mostly first the last couple of years leading up to that. So we go up there. It's position players haven't even reported yet. We're just out there early taking ground balls with the infield guy. And Mark goes over to third with Nolan, and a couple of us are like, hey, don't go take ground balls with. The last person you want to take ground balls with in February is Nolan, because he's like locked in, ready to go, midseason form. So. And Mark jokes, he's like, I don't think I've taken a ground ball since the last day of the season last year. I was like, all right, this should be good. So sure enough, like, he's over there. Nolan's backhand jump throw, spin in the hole. Mark's literally like knocking balls down off his chest, picking them up and throw to first. I think he took like three or four grounders over there. And then he's like, I'm going to first base, guys. Yeah. I'm like, good idea, Mark. So that's just an idea of like the work that Nolan puts in the offseason too, that he's like, he's ready to go. He wants to play like 9 innings that first day of spring training. Mm-hmm. So it's gonna be fun to be in the dugout with him again this year. And then Goldie, from our time in Arizona together, just like, what a superstar that no one talks about.
Yeah.
I mean, he finally won MVP over here. But the way that he sets the tone, by doing all the little things, you know, he runs the base as well. He gets down the line on routine ground balls. Like, if Goldie can do that, then everyone else on the team can do that. And so he really sets the tone and the way he prepares and his knowledge in the box, like how he knows a pitcher is going to try to get him out, and the bats that he takes are just, they're amazing. So excited to be back with him. And then, you know, excited to see Wilson, Contreras. You know, I know it was a tough year last year, but the second half he really played well, and mm-hmm. it's hard. I mean, replacing Yachty, right? Like, that's one thing, and then being on a new team, like, just new people, new place, like, it's a big adjustment, and then you have those expectations, those shoes to fill. You know, it's a daunting task for anybody, but I think you saw in the second half he either settled in or made some adjustments and had a really good second half. So those three former teammates, it's going to be fun to be around them again. And then I just ran into Mason Wynn for the first time, and just watching some of his athleticism on video, like, he's a special athlete. You know, I followed Jordan Walker a little bit after he made the team last year, and just, you know, he's so young, and he's got like all the talent in the world. So I'm excited to see him every day. But the roster is full of great athletes. I've gotten to talk to a lot of these guys. I saw and I caught up with Dylan Carlson and Nolan Gorman when I was in Arizona over the holidays, and just hearing them talk and how excited they are to get to Florida, get to spring training. They're both healthy, ready to go, and so just it's going to be fun. There's a lot of good athletes. I think there's a lot of guys that are eager to prove that last year was just a one-off and not something that we're going to have to worry about going forward.
I was on the caravan with Mason Wynn, and you know, part of the things I enjoy most about the caravan is you get a chance to, you know, you watch them on TV, and I see it differently. Now, you know, when you're done playing, you kind of watch sparingly here and there, you know, you don't hang on if they win or lose mm-hmm. every game like you did as a player. And then for me, it's my kids. So my kids, as I watch them become fans, then you re-engage as a fan, yeah. you know, and so you get to watch it every day through their eyes and seeing how cool they think it is. And it gets you back into it, you know, and so you get to see these players, and then you're on the caravan, you get to be around them a little bit. And, you know, I mean, call it what it is. Sometimes you're around them, you're like, eh, okay, I don't know. And then, man, I tell you what, I was so impressed with Mason Wynn. Here's a 21-year-old kid. A top prospect, always been, you know, a phenom. And I mean, he just gets it, you know, and like you said, you're depending on younger players more than ever. You look at this roster right now, you have a great mix of guys that have been there, done that, and big names. And man, there is a ton of young talent here. And Mason Wynn's going to be in the middle of that. You talk about the potential he has with his arm, with his speed as his bat yeah. starts to develop. I mean, you're looking at the cornerstone of this infield and potentially this organization for a long time. Now there's a lot of development still to yeah. go, but man, it just seems like being around him, it's like this guy's got it figured out at a very, very young age, man. He could be very, very dangerous and a huge, huge, huge part for this team.
Yeah, and one great thing that he got to experience last year was getting to come up in September and kind of get his feet wet and see what it's like in the big leagues. And I know he struggled at the plate, you know, and so then you go into the offseason, all right, this is what I have to work on. I can't maybe do the same things I did in AA and AAA. Mm-hmm. I might have to make some adjustments, but it's good. It's okay to struggle and to learn how do I battle out of a slump, or what adjustments do I have to make as a young player in order to maximize my potential. And but I think his athleticism, his arm, obviously, like that's stuff that you can't teach and that doesn't come along very often. And these guys, these younger players, they get to the big leagues and they have a chance to, you know, work on some things through this offseason that they might not have done so successfully. I know that, you know, Jordan Walker had a great rookie season for a 21-year-old. People talk about, like, you know, he got sent down, but if you look at his numbers, like, what other 21-year-old can do that? Like, yeah. There's not very many. Right. So there's some special talent out there. They're looking for these guys to, like, take that next step going into 24. We're excited to see those young guys out there.
The great thing about them, they got that
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits. Make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Exposure last year to kind of get hungry going into the offseason of what we got to work on. But you're not asking them to come in and carry the load.
No.
You know, I mean, you have those guys. It's, hey, come up and like you said, it's hard to learn at the big leagues, but come learn what it's like to be a big leaguer and how to go about it every day and, you know, kind of shadow these guys a little bit. And the stuff's going to come. I mean, the bat's going to come, but you are going to struggle a little yeah. bit at first. I mean, it's just a different level. You know, on the caravan, I was talking about how George Kissel, I was throwing a bullpen next to Chris Carpenter. And he was rehabbing. He had just had shoulder surgery. I was a rookie ball guy. And he said, you know, the difference between you and him isn't stuff. It's consistency. Yeah. And the consistency of that every level, whether it's rookie ball to A ball to high A to double A to triple A, that consistency jumps a very large amount, you know, at each level. It's not a small jump. And now you got less teams, so I would imagine those jumps are even bigger. Mm-hmm. At, you know, in the minor leagues, they got rid of some of the teams. So, guys are having to make more adjustments at each level, and they're going to make those adjustments at the big league. Oh, it's going to take time. They're not going to come out and hit, you know, 320 yeah. right yeah. out of the gate. I remember Yachty when he came up. You know, Yachty really struggled at the plate, mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you know, it clicked in. It's going to take a little bit, but knowing that those guys, hey, just play your role. Go out and play defense. Yeah. Figure out what it is and make adjustments every day as you go through here is going to be better and better. But you have a great mix of of your young, your old, if you will, your veteran guys, and those guys in between. And you know, when you look at this team, when I look at this team, you know, offense and defense is really a strength of this team. The pitching obviously has been addressed in the offseason. We'll see how it plays out, but I mean, that these guys are coming into a really good situation to go out there and be successful right out of the gate. I want to transition. As we came up in a similar time, and the game now is different, you know, and I don't like the, well, back when I played, but the game's changed. I talked to Mike Shannon about this in spring training a couple years ago, and he said, Mac, how much has the game changed in your opinion? And I said, Mike, I think it's changed more in the last 10 years than probably the previous 100. And he was like, he gave his chuckle and his laugh, and he was like, boy, you could say that again. I mean, there has been so many changes. So how do you, and I know you've been in it, so you were kind of in that transition a little bit, but how does that, is it hard for you? Because you came up one way, seeing it one way, and things are different with the analytics, with, you know, no bunting, and, you know, I mean, you grew up in that game and kind of mastering that game. So now sitting there, how hard is it for you to make those adjustments to today's game and today's style?
Well, I think for me, I got to experience some of that transition as I was playing. Towards the latter half of my career, I started using more of those analytics into like my everyday work, and how can I get better by using this information that we have. Like, you know, and when I first came up, you're talking about a pitcher. This guy has, you know, a fastball, slider, changeup. Here's what his out pitch is. Now you're talking about this guy has carry, extension, like vertical rise, whatever you want to call it. And there's just a lot more information out there. So how do we as a staff like sift through some of that information and give it to the players into something that can be useful? Like you can put a stack of papers on somebody's chair in their locker, and it might not do them any good if they don't know how to use that information. So that's where we can work with the guys upstairs and kind of translate this stuff into stuff that's useful. And some players want more information. Mm-hmm. Some guys want less. How do we tailor it to individuals to maximize? I mean, the last thing you want to do in the batter's box is like, all right, be thinking about X, Y, and Z and my swing and this and that. It's hard enough to hit at the big league level. You compound it with a bunch of thoughts going through your head and good luck. You know, I've been there before, like, what are my hands doing? And then it's 0-2. I'm like, how did I even get here? And then, you know, from a pitching standpoint, I think, you know, we're going to be in a better spot this year to game plan for the opposing hitters and how we want to attack those guys. And but yeah, the game has evolved. You know, obviously a lot more strikeouts, more walks, less balls in play. We've got, you know, rules about how many times you can pick over, pitch clock. And I was skeptical about the pitch clock. But I thought it was pretty positive last year. I mean, I think there were some adjustments early on, but after a while, you don't even really notice it.
Right.
And a lot of these guys coming up from the minor leagues are used to it because it's implemented at the minor league level, and the game seemed to flow a little bit better. And I just didn't want to see that affect the outcome of any game. Like, I understand at some point, like, there's a point in the game where the pitcher, like, he might need to regroup and like focus, and I was all for that, but I think guys got to a point where they were used to the pitch clock, and, you know, by the end of the season, I thought it was, you know, really smooth. So the game's changed. It's still the same like basic game, but the nuances have changed. The some details have changed, but you still got to pitch and you still got to catch the ball, and those are the teams that win. So that's what we're going to focus on.
Well, I'm going to let you get out of here because I know you got a busy day ahead with the fans and media and autographs and all that. But really appreciate you coming by, spending the time with us, giving some insight into what those conversations are like in the dugout, what the preparation's like. So really appreciate it. And I'm excited to have you back. I think, you know, the Cardinals do such a great job of keeping tradition and keeping kind of the history alive. And the more, you know, I saw it on this caravan with the guys, you could tell, you know, we're kind of losing that gap of guys that were around when, you know, we won the World Series in 11. And these guys I was with, it was like, man, that's really cool. You guys want to know about the World Series. Kind of Mason Wynn pointed out to me that he was born the year I graduated high school.
That makes you feel good.
Yeah, it makes me feel great. So, you know, it just, you can see that there's a lot from the younger guys of like, man, we want to get back to, I want to be a part of that, you know? Yeah. And so I think it's great to have you in the mix and you're going to do a great job at it. So thanks again for stopping by.
Not that I'm going to be out on the field by any means, but like with Waino being gone now, you know, there's not really Lance is back and Lance was on that 11 team, but before signing Lance, if there was no connection to those World Series teams, those pennant teams. So it's been, I mean, there's been some good seasons here the last few years, but there hasn't been that deep October run that we're looking for. And we're hoping that we can get back to that being the norm.
And that experience is a lot. I don't know if people understand that no matter what your role was on that team, if you're on that team, people look at you differently. Yeah. I remember when I left here and talked to John Daniels with the Rangers, and he was like, we want people that have won.
Yeah.
I mean, we know what you can do on the field, but man, you've been a part of that, and we want as much as that as in our organization as we possibly can, because it's different. You know, it's just different.
Once you get labeled as a winner or a winning player and you come from a winning organization, like that opens up a lot of doors for you on the field later on. People want to know, what did you guys do over there to be successful, and they want to grab a hold of that.
Yeah, well, I'm excited. I'm glad the young guys get an opportunity to be around you and learn from you, because you're going to do a great job at it. So thanks again for being here. And you can listen to any of our podcast or watch any of our podcast that we've done over the last couple of years. You can check it out anywhere you get your podcast, or go to the Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals YouTube page, and you can watch video of Albert Pujols, Adam Wainwright, Yadier Molina, all the guys we have done over the last 2 years, and get caught up. So thanks for joining. We'll see you guys next month.